I'm Colin Blakemore. I'm a neuroscientist. I consider myself very fortunate because I think in a number of ways been in the right place at the right time and benefited hugely from that. I'm part of the baby boom and therefore grew up after the war in a period where there were new opportunities for people who came from, as I did, an environment where no one had ever been to university before. Suddenly that chance was there. I was the first person in my family to go to university. I went to Cambridge as a medical student. But I also, I mean, through Cambridge, was stimulated by the way that science works, by interaction with great scientists. And this is one of the benefits of the Cambridge system, the tutorial system, meeting active researchers from the day you arrive. And that inspired in me a huge enthusiasm and for and love of science. So much so that I gave up medicine. I went to Berkeley to do a PhD. Went back to Cambridge, enormous good fortune, because it was embarrassingly easy to get jobs in the universities then. Went back at the age of whatever, 23 or something like that, to a faculty position in Cambridge. And in some senses, never looked back and had a kind of ivory tower existence, teaching in Cambridge, moving to Oxford in 1979, and that's where I still am. When I was 34, I was, I don't really know the reasons why, invited by the BBC to give a very distinguished series of lectures on the radio called the Reith Lectures. First of which was given by Bertrand Russell. That's an example of the standing of these lectures. And I gave a series of lectures, my first brush with the media about the brain and the mind. And from that time on, I realised many things. First and most important, there are an awful lot of intelligent, bright people outside the ivory tower. And many academics never learn that. And there's a lot to learn from the experiences of other parts of life, which are different from the experiences of academics. I also, learned that researchers and academics are in a sense the servants of society. I mean, they have great freedoms, it's true, but they also carry with them obligations to report back to their paymasters, which in the end means the public, about what they're doing and why. I mean, science is, yes, of course, enormously beneficial to society, but it also throws up problems for society. And science in itself doesn't have a method for answering moral questions. Very good at delivering evidence and facts, not at solving the big ethical problems. And it must be the people that decide those things. So generating a system within which there is confidence, mutual confidence between the public, and politicians and scientists is a hugely important part of modern life. So I've given quite a lot of my time to public communication and increasingly to what's now called public engagement, which means much more of a two-way process of interaction with the public. I've learned a great deal from that. I think it's helped me in my research and in my teaching. But also I think it's been important in helping to create a better relationship between government, particularly, and the scientific community in the UK. I mean, I would look forward to a sort of utopian world, and let's face it, we need a bit of utopia at the moment, in which evidence becomes the solid basis of the way in which we make decisions about how to run our lives, as individuals, as communities, but also as government. And that doesn't just mean that we hand over responsibility to scientists. Why should they be any better at making the big decisions than politicians? But although politicians make decisions, they should certainly make decisions that are informed by the best available evidence. So I think that the scientific community should be more willing to work with or for government, free of interference from government, but safe in the knowledge that their views will be respected. And that also that science should see itself not as a separate enterprise aimed at personal aggrandizement or making money, but should also be seen as an essential inherent part of human culture. Look, we face huge problems at the moment, problems that make me, I think an optimist by nature, really a bit fearful about the future. problems of the population explosion, the demand on our environment, the impact they were having on it, the security of our food supply and the quality of food, of water and every other resource, and of course the problems of the relationships between people. Our only hope to overcome many or most, perhaps all of those problems, our only hope is to have the evidence on which to base good decisions. And science will play a huge part in providing such evidence.